Hey, church, how we doing today? Y'all good today? Come on, red letters. What's the big deal with these red letters we've been doing? This is, you're right in the middle of a series that we're going through. Red letters. How many of y'all know when you see them, they're important? Warning. Caution. Parkway 376 closed, going east. This is a big deal, right? Come on, you need to pay attention to such things. So we're looking at these letters in the book of Revelation. We're going through that Jesus wrote letters to churches here, and so we're right in the middle of this. Now, what's the big deal with red letters? I'm going to tell you right here, because after you read them, they become red. Been waiting all week to tell you that. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, so they're red letters. That means we read them. And so here they are. They have something specific to say to us, even in the here and the now. And there's an outline that all of the letters have. There's an outline. And so every letter has like these three things. First of all, there's a commendation. There's something, an encouragement. There's something that says, hey, way to go here. The next one is there's a criticism or a complaint. So you have a commendation, and then a complaint, or a criticism complaint. Then there's a command, a rebuke, and then there's a covenant promise. So in all the letters that Jesus wrote to the churches, he tends to write in this format. First he says, hey, way to go. And then he says, okay, now I got this criticism. Okay, I got this complaint against you. And then he says, okay, but then there's a command, but then there's a covenant promise. And when we read the letters, if we put it in this text, we're going to see the pattern of God. If you ever wondered that God is a father, these four things, all the dads, where's my dads out there? Where's the dads come? I just gave you an outline to follow with your kids right there. Okay, start with the encouragement first and end with a promise, but in the middle, okay, say what needs to be said. I just gave you permission right there. Come on, how many of y'all know that's good? Come on. And so here we have the church of Thyatira. Thyatira, it was a small place. It was actually one of the smallest geographical areas, northern Turkey here, but it was the longest letter actually written. So it's interesting that the smallest of places can have the biggest problems, okay? Because there's a lot of problems. Actually, there's more outlined to this church than the others here. It was a blue-collar town. How many of y'all grew up in Pittsburgh here? Pittsburgh, come on, you can relate to blue collar, right? Come on, you work hard. There was a lot of guilds, which we refer to as unions. There was people that work in the cloth industry, or dyeing cloth, or pottery, or bronze making, or metal work. And so there was a lot of blue collar work going on in Thyatira here, a lot of that going on. And so we can relate to that here in Pittsburgh here. And so what was happening was something was going on where they were saying, hey, to be a part of the union at the Christmas party, we're going to worship false gods. And it's okay. It's okay to worship false gods at the Christmas party because we're a part of the union and whatever the union says. Okay, I'm just trying to give you a little background here. And so this is what was going on in Thyatira here in a significant place. So we're gonna be reading the Word of God today. I'm gonna be picking it up in Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Now I want to let you know that I'm gonna preach the Word of God today, because how many of y'all know that the Word of God, it works? How many of y'all know that the Word of God is powerful? How many of y'all know that we need all the Word of God we can get? Nudge your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Come on, just nudge him right there and say, that's yes for you right there. Come on. Yeah, we all do. Come on, that's the truth. Then after I'm done, Doug's going to come up and he's going to share some things and ways you can get connected. And then after that, we're going to hear from Pastor Ben. He's going to just share his heart for a few minutes. And we're going to pray and just give you some direction. And then we're all going to go. There's a room behind here. If you ever wonder, like, through that door, what's behind there? Maybe you've never been behind that door. It's safe. I came from there today. It's safe. But behind there, there's a sugar rush waiting for you. Come on. And we're just going to celebrate a little bit, and we'll get to that. But just wanted to let you know what was going on today. Is that good? Heavenly Father, use this time right now. God, help me articulate There's a great group of people here, God, that want to know your word. They want to know what you have to say, not what I have to say. So, Lord God, change us, transform us, sharpen us for your good, your glory, and your honor today by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we go. You ready for the word today? Come on, are you really ready? Okay, come on. You're going to get ready. Come on. Here we go. Revelation chapter 2, 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like the flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Very significant here. I want to point out, first of all, that these are the words of Jesus. These are not the words of just a man. How many of y'all know that the red letters, when you're reading your Bible, the red letters from Jesus, I mean, the whole Bible's important, but you need to take note. So we're taking note of the words of Jesus here, because Jesus has good words full of life, because he believes in us, and Jesus wants the best for us here. So I want to point out, though, that it's words of Jesus, not just the words of man. You got to catch that here. This morning, I don't know what you came to hear. Maybe you came here today with maybe to hear something, maybe in the moment to be okay, but I want you to hear the words of Jesus today. I want you to be changed and transformed with the words of Jesus. Now, it's interesting here. The only place in the book of Revelation that Son of God shows up is right here. It's very interesting. Now, see, what I'm trying to say to you is Jesus spoke to those in Thyatira that they could understand in their context. It would be like if Jesus was speaking to us, he would like say, okay, go down to the bridge and cross that bridge and that. He would speak to us in terms that we could understand. He would speak about rivers. He would speak about bridges. He would speak that like in terminology we could understand. Now, in this context, they worshiped Apollos, and they referred to Apollos as the son of Zeus, which was a false god, small g, god. So when Jesus spoke to them, he was basically saying, this is Jesus, the Son of God. This is the Son of God speaking here, not the son of Zeus, not the son of a small g God, but this is God speaking. You see, you got to catch these things in Scripture because it's full of life. The Word, your Bible is full of life, and it comes alive. And so Jesus, first of all, says, okay, now you understand, this is the Son of God speaking here. And then he uses this word, like the flame of fire and eyes of, and it refers to Daniel chapter 10, 6, where there was flames of fire. There was literally like fierceness. There's a fierceness of this. And now, I don't believe anybody here. Did anybody here ever work in a steel mill? Anybody here ever work in a steel mill? See, like it's kind of in the past, but years ago, probably like 40, 50 years ago, if you would have said fire, like my dad and Natalie's dad working in a steel mill, they knew the fire furnace. They knew the furnace, and they knew the fire. So this would have been speaking their terminology here. In bronze, of burnished bronze, what does that mean? Purity. So he's saying here there's a fierceness and a purity of what's going on. Okay? Now, if you need to understand what the eyes like a flame of fire really look like, I want you to think about your mom when you disobeyed as a kid. Come on, somebody. Come on, where's all my moms out there? Come on, moms. Like, come on. You know that look. Don't look all holy at me. Come on. You know how to look at your kids and say, look, here's the flames of fire coming at you right now. They're coming right for you right there. So he was saying there's a fierceness here. There's a purity here. So here, verse 19, I know your works. And God is saying to you today, I know your works. I know your love. I know your faith. I know your service. And I know your endurance. What I want to say to you here, Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights, God is saying, yes, I know your love for one another. Do you have a love for one another? How many of y'all have faith? Okay. How about service? How many of you are serving? How many of y'all have endurance? Amen. See, God is what he's saying here. He gives him a commendation. How many of y'all would like that to be said of you? Yes. And I know that what you're doing, it's only going to get better. Yes. I think that's pretty good. I think that's pretty important here. So Jesus, first of all, starts with a commendation. He says, man, this is really significant here. Who wouldn't want to hear that? Now let's go on. Verse 20. Here we go. But I have this against you. Okay, here we go. Brace yourself. Brace yourself. But I got this against you, okay, that you tolerate. I love how the scripture writes in this translation, that you tolerate that woman. I don't know about you, but you never want to be referred to that woman or that guy. Am I helping you this morning, okay? You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Now, I'm going to get to who Jezebel is in just a little bit, but I want to focus on a couple other things here. First of all, they were being seduced. They were being led astray. They were being taken off track. They just little bit by little bit by little bit, they were being seduced. That's how seduction happens. It happens a little bit at a time. And what I believe Jesus is saying to us here in July 2026 is we have to be careful because there's a seducing spirit in our world that's trying to creep into our lives. Do you live in the world I live in? Come on. Come on. I mean, see, you're being seduced. You're being taken off track. You're being led away, and you're tolerating, and literally tolerating means, oh, it's okay, I forgive you, don't worry about it, it's okay. A little bit off track isn't going to hurt anybody. No, you got to track what's going on in Thyatira here. See, he's saying, hey, listen, you're tolerating something, you're forgiving it, you're overlooking it, you're just letting it. And I just want to tell you, you deserve what you tolerate. Whatever's in your life, listen, you deserve, if you're tolerating it and it's bothering you, you deserve it because you're tolerating it. You're saying, that's just the way I am, that's just the way it is, that's the best it ever gets for me. You're tolerating that, so that's what you deserve. See, there's a problems here. Tolerance is the virtue of the man without convictions. See, when you have no convictions, you think tolerance is a virtue here. That is a serious problem in our day and age here. We're tolerating something. He's sending a message to his church. Are we a part of church today?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Jesus is sending a message. He doesn't show up with a pitchfork, with horns and a red suit. He shows up and people that telling us that relax your standards. Don't take Jesus so serious. Listen, don't take him too serious. Pretty soon, if you take that Jesus thing so serious, Jesus is going to overtake your life. Don't get too committed to the church. That church you're part of, they're just taking over your life. Oh, my goodness. Come on, no. Do you ever hear that? I hear that. Oh, my goodness. See, it just starts with the Sunday, and then, oh, my goodness, and you go to a small group, and then pretty soon you're serving, and oh, my goodness. See, that's what he's speaking to here. He's saying, listen, it's people that just say, just allow a little bit to come in. Just tolerate just a little bit. Just give in just a little bit. And in our culture, there's this thing of tolerance that just has crept in. That we need to be tolerant. We need to just love everybody. It's a good thing. Stop judging. Don't judge. Relativism. Jesus doesn't judge anybody, neither do we. Listen, it sounds to me like Jesus is judging stuff. No, that's Jesus. I'm reading from the Word of God, am I? Oh, yeah, he's a God of love, but he loves us too much to leave us in the messed up place we are in right here. Come on, don't you hear statements like this? I hear them all the time. You do you. You do you. Have you ever hear those? How many of y'all know you doing you is pretty ugly? No, I'm being honest. You doing you is the most selfish thing on the planet. Am I the only one here today like that?
No.
Me doing me, I like, you know what I like? I like what I like, how I like it, when I like it, where I like it. That's me doing me. You know, there's this other thing. I see t-shirts. I even saw a t-shirt recently with it. And it's like, you know, self-love is the greatest love. I don't even know what that means. I mean, the more I know me, I don't even like me. I mean, it's like, how about Jesus' love is the greatest thing? How about Jesus' love that makes me whole and makes me complete and makes me, like, acceptable to him and to you? Jesus' love makes a difference. Me loving me is just more of me. And who needs any of that? Don't say amen. That was not the point for you to say, yeah, you know. No, I'm being honest here, but this creeps into our world. It creeps into us here. You be your peace. Whatever makes you happy. There's a lot of things that make me happy that aren't real good for me. You know, I mean, whether they don't seem harmful, but they are. You know, a couple gallons of ice cream with some hot fudge would make me happy. How many of y'all know that's not real good here? But certain things aren't compatible. What he's saying is you're tolerating, you're drifting, you're sliding here. And they're not helping you. Certain things don't go together. Darkness and light. Selfishness and Jesus. Pineapple and pizza. And as Pastor Ben said last week, the Steelers and the Browns. There you go. They don't go together. They don't mix. Come on, they don't mix. Are you with me? But we're just tolerating it. We're getting seduced by it. So here's the criticism right here. The criticism is this, that there was sexual immorality and worshiping of idols. And now many of you are saying, like, well, I don't worship idols. I don't do that. I never bow down to idols. I don't do that. I don't know. An idol is anything that comes between you and God. Anything at all that comes between you and God is an idol. How many of you know your past hurts can become an idol? Your past successes can become an idol. Our past hurts, successes, and everything in between can become an idol. That's what they become. Yeah, your iPhone, it's an idol. Begins with I, idol. Well, I have an Android. It's an idol too. Come on. It's just a secondary idol. Come on. No, we have these idols in our life that we care more about likes and we care more about what Instagram has to say than what Jesus has to say. No, I'm being, come on. I'm here to help you. How many of you are getting help today? How many of you know the help you can get? Yeah. Yeah, but we have these idols, and so it's like, okay, they had sexual immorality, and they worshipped idols. Why? And this is the same message that was at Pergamum last week that Pastor Ben shared with you. You tolerate false teaching. You're compromising the Word of God, and you're practicing sinful behaviors, and you're complying with the world, and you don't even know it. Does this define our day and age or not? See, people always say, well, the Bible's so outdated. Did you read what I'm reading? No, I'm serious. Are you reading this? The Bible is not outdated. It speaks to us right where we are right now. And we're compromising. We're complying with the world. We're saying, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Just a little bit here. So let's look at this person, Jezebel. The prophetess here was not named Jezebel. They're referring to a Jezebel in the Old Testament. So, who was Jezebel? She influenced her husband, King Ahab of Israel, to worship Baal, a false god, okay, in which led to sexual immorality and many fell away. Do you realize that the devil doesn't have any new tricks? No, you're going to catch that. Just a little straying, just a little falling away, just a little mindset. It doesn't hurt anybody. It don't hurt nobody. It's okay. Just a little bit. Just a little bit's okay. And there's only two reasons why people would permit Jezebel. You have biblical illiteracy. That means you just don't understand what the Bible says. And I understand that. That's why you're here, so we can learn what the Bible says. Am I right? Okay, but the other one is you enjoy what those false teachers are telling you. You enjoy what the culture has to offer. No, there's a reason there. I enjoy it. And there's a lot written, like, and if you stay in church long enough, there's going to be like, I hear this from pastors a lot as I travel and we work with pastors, like, I got a Jezebel in our church. And I says, well, the only way a Jezebel can be a Jezebel is if she has an Ahab, somebody that's listening to Jezebel. Now, I want that to sink in. The only reason Jezebel did what she did is because she had King Ahab would listen to her and fell away slowly but surely. And so what I'm saying is you got to tell Jezebel to be quiet. You just got to say, no, we don't do that. No, we don't listen to that. That's false teaching. That's false. You're going in the wrong direction. You're complying with the world. You're compromising the word of God. We don't do that here. No, this thing tolerance, I'm telling you, listen, it starts slow, but it begins to creep into our mindsets. And we don't realize that in our culture, the United States of America, there's an independent culture. There's this, and then you mix it with all the craziness that's creeping into our world. And yes, I'm going to say something here, and it's not political. It's very biblical. We're allowing socialism to creep into the Word of God. I personally believe that God's a capitalist. As I read the Bible, I believe he provides great opportunity for his people. Amen. And I believe he rewards those who sow. He is a God of sowing and reaping. I'm just sharing with you my belief as I read the Bible. I believe that's my worldview. Okay? But all these other things are creeping in, and they're creeping in even to the church, and they're seducing us and pulling us away. They're pulling us away, and we don't even know it. We don't even know it, and we're tolerating it. That's the problem here. They're enjoying it here. Now, first of all, I want to stop, pause, and I want to do a really good commercial. Y'all ready? We do these things called Victory and Freedom Days. On August 22nd, we're going to do one. It's 8 a.m. to about 8:30, 9 p.m. If you have any area of your life, any area of your life where you're tolerating a compromise of the Word of God or complying to the world, this is for you. So basically, it's for all of us. Yes. I'm trying to help you. Okay? What this is doing is what we want to help you do is identify the hurts, the hang-ups, the issues of our life, so that we can get healed from them and we can get victory over our past and freedom to live in our future. I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. We've been doing these since right about 2006, about 20 years now. I go every 18 months. I don't go to teach. I go because I need it. I just went to the last one. So I'm inviting you to a time where you can get free from the complying with the world and the compromising of the Word of God. Ladies, yours is going to be right here in this room. You got to get registered. It's filling up fast. You got to go and pay. Paying means you register. Okay? You got to pay. You got to register. And then you got to do that. And guys, you're going to go across town to our White Oak location. And we're going to help you. You got to put this on your calendar, because if you don't put this on your calendar and say, you know what, I'm going to put my hand to this, I'm going to do this, this is going to be significant, I'm going to get free, it's going to keep creeping into your world. Are you with me now? Like, why? Listen, that my commercial's over there, and I thought that was a good one, okay? Why are we, and there's one young man from this location, I don't see him here, he must be serving downstairs. I'm trying to find Earl. If you're here, raise your hand. No, okay, good. He's serving. He's going with a group of 20-plus students, 6th to 12th grade, to camp this week. You want to know why we're investing so much money into young people? Because we don't want them to comply with the world or compromise God's word. How many of y'all wish you started your journey with Jesus a little earlier than you did? How many of y'all wish you didn't make so many stupid mistakes? I see those hands. I see those hands. Yeah. I see those nods. Okay. Some of you are afraid to raise your hand, but I see the nod. Okay. No, am I right or wrong? And we got to do everything we can to stand up against the spirit of this world that wants us to tolerate, wants us to give in. Come on. We all do it here. Come on, this is how it happens. This is, see, nobody wakes up one day and says, you know what, I was just thinking, today is a good day to commit adultery. I think today's that day. Nobody does that. You get there one step at a time. Oh, they listen to me. Oh, I can talk to them. Oh, they make me feel good. Oh, well, it's okay if we're alone. Oh, it's okay if we go there. Because after all, God wants me happy. Am I being real enough with you? See, nobody says, oh, I'm just going to, no. We get there slowly. We get there just slowly but surely. And we do it, how about this? If that's not yours, how about this? Hey, I just watched this movie. You got to watch this movie. Except there's these two scenes. And the two scenes you have to fast forward because they're really bad. It's a great movie except for all the sex, the killing, and the cussing. Come on, am I speaking your language yet? See, we start to tolerate. We start to think that's okay. Listen, everybody, sexual immorality is running rampant. There's all these statistics on sexual immorality and what it's doing. It's crushing. It's crushing our culture. And it crushed the churches in Revelation. It's still crushing us. And we still keep falling prey to it all. We do this with movies. We do this with tolerance. We do this with everything in our lives, and we don't even realize we're doing it. Okay. My wife, Natalie, and I, we're still living. We're not in our real home. We have a fake home and a real home. Our real home's getting, we had a water problem 6 months ago, and we're still not in our house yet. And in our fake home, it was a couple weeks ago, we discovered we had a mouse problem. We had a mouse. We had very evidences of mice. There was a mouse in the house. Now, I could have looked at Natalie and I said, you know what, Natalie, it's just one mouse. Don't worry about that one mouse. It's not going to hurt anything. That one mouse is no problem at all. What do you think Natalie would say to me? She would say, I'm going to go find a new house. That's what she would be saying to me. Am I right? Yeah, I am. But see, like, you know, how many of you know that one mouse is going to hook up with another mouse? And then they're going to have a lot of little mices running around. And then the more mices are going to find another family of mices, and they're going to turn into mices because they're going to take over your house. Am I right or wrong? Am I right? How many of y'all think that's a good idea? But we do that with our spiritual lives all the time. We tolerate just a little bit. We tolerate just a little bit of behavior. We tolerate just a little bit of sin. It's okay. We're in a committed, loving relationship. So therefore, fornication and adultery and every other thing, that's okay. Is it really according to God's word, or is it just okay according to our culture and society? See, these creep in. Am I right or wrong? It's like, well, don't you can't judge. I don't like the way you judge. I'm just reading to you God's word. He said you got these, you're tolerating and you're being seduced into allowing a lot of mice in your house. God is concerned with this. He's concerned with two bodies, yours and his. He's concerned with what you do in your body, how you conduct yourself, and he's concerned with our lives being joined together as his body. Are you with me now? And he will do everything he can to bring fierceness, passion, and purity to his body. That's what he's saying to the church of Thyatira. How many of you are glad you came to church today? Okay, verse 22. Behold, I will throw this Jezebel, her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation, unless they of her works, and I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works here. And so he's like, listen, I'm gonna give her time here. But man, you keep going on your sinful path, you're gonna end up in a sick bed. You may not end up there physically, but you're gonna end up there spiritually. And so I'm trying to help you. See, we're trying to confront things that are gonna help you in the long run. Like, let's not allow little things to creep in here. So the command was to repent. It was to think differently. Same thing as last week. Repent. Think differently about your situation. Think differently about your mindsets. Think differently. Say, God, I am sorry. I'm going to change directions. How many of y'all are ready to change directions today? How many of y'all have some mindsets you could use a little change on today? Come on, am I right? Come on. That's what he's saying. You gotta change your direction, change the mindset, change the way you're thinking about certain things. And that's what his body does together here. When we refuse God's mercy, we end up in this judgment here. We're gonna be on a stretcher, debilitated. Verse 24. But to the rest of you, the rest of you that are doing so good, okay, he has something to say to you. Who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan. The deep things of Satan. I want to let that sink in. Because I hear it all the time. I want more of the deep things of God. Well, we got to get you out of the deep things of Satan before we can get you into the deep things of God. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm just giving you a thought here. Okay? Man. I do not lay on any other burden, only hold fast. So here's the command, hold fast. Seize, grab a hold of Jesus, grab a hold of the truth. Grab a hold of the truth of the Word of God. Grab a hold of the truth of who He is. Grab a hold of what it means to really be a follower of Jesus Christ, and don't let go of that. So listen, if your life is absolutely perfect and you have no areas that you need to think differently, then I'm telling you today, hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to Him. Grab a hold of that. Don't let it go here. There it is. Now, verse 26. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and I will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what God is saying to the church at Brighton Heights. Are you hearing his word? Are you hearing his word today? Are you grabbing a hold of it? Are we thinking differently? That's why we come together, because we have to think differently. And I want to let you know, I have a problem with some of the things I read in the Bible. That whole love your enemies thing, I'm still trying to work that out. Anybody with me? I don't like that. And that whole die to yourself and love and serve your spouse. I am praying earnestly that Natalie will get a word from God. But how many of y'all know that Rick needs that word of God? Come on. Yeah, come on. I do. I need to do that. And I need all the help I can get to do that. But there's a seducing thing that's coming in, pulling us away, making us feel good about ourselves. Telling you here. So here's the covenant promise for the church of Thyatira. Authority over the nations, ruling victoriously in the morning star. This is the promise that I believe God wants to give us here today. He wants to give us a greater authority. He wants to give us a greater authority over the principalities and the powers and the prince of this air that's seeking to come in and seduce us and get us to tolerate evil things. Are you with me now? Jesus wants to give us authority. Are you there? He wants to give you a delegated authority, an exousia from heaven. A delegated, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter. I want to give you this, but we got to be willing to give up the idols and sexual immorality. I'm just giving you the word of God today. Come on. But he also wants us to rule victoriously. God has created us for victory. I thought you were going to get a little more excited over that. Some people in this room right now, I can see it over your heads right now. You have bought into so much defeat and so much I'll never be victorious. I'll never be able to achieve. I'll never be able to be financially secure. I'll never be able to be the leader God wants me to be. I can't leave my home. I can't leave my spouse. I want to break that off your life today. I want to break you. I can't give up. I can't give up all the seduction of sexual immorality. I can't give it up. I just can't. No, you can. We can live victorious. You can be victorious. We can be victorious. Listen, I'm going to keep prophesying to you until you get it. The word of God gets us victory. Your marriage is not as good as it can get right now. Because if your life is as good as it's ever going to get, then just give up. But I don't believe it's as good as it's ever going to get. I believe it can get better as we have authority and exousia, as we have a victory in the morning star. What's the big deal with the morning star? In their culture, they knew Venus was considered the morning and evening star. The one they saw in the morning because the sun would reflect off Venus and it was bright. So it was new every morning. The reflection of Jesus on your life. And in the evening, there was the evening star. That was Venus. And so they knew, oh, Jesus is at the beginning and he's at the end. You see, the Bible is full of imagery and prophetic imagery. Are you with me now? So he's saying, how many of y'all want that promise over your life? You could use authority. You could use ruling. How many of y'all need a little more victory in your life than you're experiencing right now? Stand to your feet if that's you. Stand to your feet if that's you today. Come on. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for every person on their feet right now. Lord God, we're here standing, God, because we're saying this isn't as good as it gets. This isn't as good as it gets. Heavenly Father, free us, Lord God. Thank you for noticing our love, our faith, our service, our endurance. But God, thank you, Lord God, for that criticism, Lord God. Thank you for correcting us today, adjusting our mindsets off of compliance with the world and compromising God's word. Thank you, God, for calling us to repentance and to hold fast. Thank you, God, for an authority, for a victory, and the morning star, Jesus himself. Come on. So listen, this is what we're going to do. If you want to respond to God's word today, if you want to respond and say, you know what, I got to think differently. I'm allowing things to creep into my mind. I don't want to compromise God's word. I have an idol in my life. I have sexual immorality in my life. Listen, I have that. I want you to get out of your seats and come right down here right now. We're going to sing a song together, and then I'm going to pray for you. So I want you to get out of your seats and just meet me right down here. Come on, just get out of your seats. Anybody needs to think differently? Does anybody need to think differently? Does anybody want to think differently about you? Come on, come on, come on. There's room for you. Don't be looking at me. Any area of your life, you're saying, you know what? Any area, I have an idol in my life. I want to think differently. I want to be free. Come on, I know there's a lot more people. I know we're just afraid. I don't want anybody to think I have sexual immorality in my life. I don't want anybody to think it's there. We can see it. We know. Just give them a move up. Move in. Move up. Now the worship team is gonna sing a song here. We're gonna worship God. And then you're gonna raise your hands and surrender to God. I'm gonna pray over you. And I believe that you can think differently. I believe in each and every one of you can have victory in your life. You can have victory. You can have victory. We can have the presence of God in our lives. Come on. Come on. Let's raise our hands to heaven and do a little bit.